Glory be to God, you know, because he is good. And I just pray, you know, sometimes, you know, I know all of you know me. There might be visitors here and stuff like that who don't know me, okay? And I want you to focus on the Lord, all right? Because God speaks through me, all right? I am not God. I am not Holy Ghost Jr. or anything like that. I know who he is, and he knows who I am. And, you know, I just avail myself to God for him to do whatever he wants to do through me, okay? But, I just pray that, you know, just think that God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to your situation and circumstance. I'm just the messenger, so don't kill me. No, just joking. But speak to God. You know, God speaks to us. You know, the thing of it is we're not always listening. God always speaks, okay? He's been speaking since the creation. It's us. We ain't got a problem hearing. We got a problem listening. All right? It's like your kids. They ain't got a problem hearing you. They just got a problem listening to you, right? And God's the same. He's our Father. And as his children, that we ain't got a problem hearing. We just got a problem listening to what God is saying to us in a certain particular situation or circumstance, all right? And so we just got to learn just to be still and just listen, you know, take everything else out of your mind, what you're thinking about you are going to do today and whatever, and just focus right now on God and just ask him to speak into my heart. God, speak into my life, speak into my situation and circumstance, because the reality of it is only he can change it, right? And the reality of it is even if he don't change the circumstance, he's going to change you in the middle of the circumstance, that you'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to deal with it without freaking out and acting crazy like we do. Yeah. Right? You know you all do. Don't look at me like that. You all know you do. But God is good. And open to the book of Colossians, right? This is the book of Colossians. This is a book that Paul, his epistle, which is a letter that he's writing to the church in Colossae, which he, on his third missionary journey, had planted. So he's writing as a father is concerned. If you read the epistles, Ephesians and Colossians. And one thing about Ephesians and Colossians, when you read them, they're like twin books. Paul is like dealing with the same situation, circumstances that were going on. So they seem very familiar. So Paul is writing as a father, all right, to the Colossian church, because in the day, you know, there was a lot of, you know, Greek stuff going on, Greek philosophy and everything. And so he's explaining to them that it's not philosophy, but Christ. And he, you know, exhorts them to be steady in faith in Christ. Situations and circumstances are going to happen in your life. You can't change it no matter what you try to do. But one thing you can do is remain steady in your faith no matter what happens or no matter what you encounter in this life. Amen? Because you have a God who is immutable, which means he never changes. One thing about God, he never changes. I know you all have relationships before. Somebody talk about they're going to love you forever and all that, and they done changed their mind for some reason or another, okay? God ain't like that. Malachi 3:6 says that I am the Lord and I change it not. God's never going to change his plan. He's never going to change his purpose for his people. He's never, ever going to change. No matter what happens in your life, demographics change, geographics change, finances change. There's a whole bunch of stuff in this earth that is going to change. But you could take it to the bank that God will never change in his character, in his principles of who he is, with his love, with his concern for with you and with me and with everybody else that lives in the earth. Even people that don't know God or claim that there is no God. You know, those who claim to be atheists. I can't understand that for my life. That if you don't believe in something, why do you spend your whole life trying to prove that he's not here? That makes no sense, right? I don't get that. I really don't. But that's just me, right? But anyway, Paul is, like I said, a loving father. His concern, if you read Ephesians and Colossians, his concern for the church. And he prayed for them, for their life, for their spiritual understanding, for the eyes to be enlightened that you see with your spiritual eyes other than these eyes. And that so much concern that Paul had for the church. And because at this time, like I was saying about the Greek philosophers and stuff, and as I was saying at the first something, there's nothing wrong with philosophy as long as it's centered in Christ. Okay? It has to be Christ-centered. just like anything else. Anything that's not Christ-centered is going to have you all over here and all over there. That's why you have some people come to church on fire for the Lord for 5 or 6 years. Now they're chasing all this other stuff, all right? Because they were not rooted, they were not grounded in the truth about Jesus Christ, but also not just the truth of Jesus Christ, but the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where the biggest struggle is. God ain't got the struggle. He did all he can do through Jesus when he said it's finished, it was finished. Now it's up to us to receive, attain, and to believe through it all. Amen? So we're going to read the first 15 verses, and then I'll get to the place where we're going to be. Colossians 2. That's all right. It's all right. I want everybody one accord. Everybody, Colossians 2, the second chapter, because I know sometimes I get going a little, you know, going. Well, those who know me, I start rolling, I roll. Sometimes you gotta say, hit the brakes, Pastor, hit the brakes. So this is Paul. He said, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love, and attaining to all the riches and the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness in your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him. And that word walk means live in him. What you have received, walk in it. Amen? Rooted and built up in him, established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We shouldn't be sorrowful Christians. We're not thankful for what we go through, but we are thankful that I don't have to go through this alone. Amen? I'm thankful that you're there. I'm thankful that you care. And I'm thankful that you're going to show me the way through all of this. Amen? And that's all of us. So we should always be thankful as Christians, not look like you just ate a skunk. All right? Beware lest anyone cheat you. See, Paul was concerned with the church because all this philosophy takes people in all types of different directions. You know, people have claimed Christ as Christians, and you see them now, and they're all way out there with all this stuff, right? Correct? All right, so beware that nobody cheats you too. If they cheated them, they could cheat you out of too. You're true. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities. In him, listen to this, in him, and as I said earlier in the first service, in him, not in you, in him. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone be in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In him. He didn't say if anybody be in church. Because you know a lot of people go to church and you see no Christ in them. So if anybody be in him, that's where it's going to happen. Because outside of him, you're going to still be you. Even though you say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, and all that other stuff. That's right. Without him, you're going to act the same way you was before you even came through these doors. Amen? So he's saying, in you, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off of the body of the sins, of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him, baptized in him, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So Jesus got up. That means you could get up and rise in the newness of life. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Do you hear that? Everything you did, the good, the bad, and the ugly, has been forgiven. So forgive yourself. Because you listen, do you know what the biggest slap in the face that is to God? When you still act like you were unforgiven? And the price that was paid for you through Jesus Christ, suffering and everything, that's like slapping God right in his face. Forgive yourself and forgive other people. It doesn't change the situation and circumstance. I understand that. Okay, and God understands that too. But you can't live in unforgiveness calling yourself a Christian. You can't. It's impossible. Not when you have a Lord who from the cross said, who was our example, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes you got to look at people and say the same thing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what I do or what they've done. And you got to look at yourself and say, Father, forgive me, because I don't know what I'm doing right now. That's right. Come on. It's going to be tight, but it's going to be right. You'll be okay. See, I grew up in the iodine age. How many grew up in the iodine age? When you cut wide open, they come with that stuff and put it on, it stings and burn. You're already cut open. And you think they're going to help you, and they put iodine. Now you're burning even more. But the iodine had disinfectants and all that other stuff in there that helped speed up the healing, correct? Same thing with this. Holy Ghost, punch you in the eye. Don't worry. You'll be fine. All right. Having wiped out the right. Come on now. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. See, in our flesh and in our sinfulness, you know, God's law demands justice, all right? So there was a writing that was against us, and Jesus took care of all of that. He wiped it out. Once it's wiped out, it's wiped out. The handwriting that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he, having taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross, disarmed the principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. Okay? Jesus triumphed over the enemy, over sin, over death, over the power of sin that used to control your life and everything. Lasciviousness means you have no brakes. Remember, you were in situations and circumstances and you knew it was bad for you, but you just kept on doing it. Okay? Why? Because you had no brakes. You had no way to put the brakes on. That's what the sinful nature does. Okay? But thanks be to Jesus. And now you said yes, and now that you understand, you know to apply the brakes before you even get in the situation and circumstances, right? Because it's madness. If you ride your bike down the hill and you go around the corner, the first time you, bam, slam into a wall, right? Now you come down that same hill and go around that same corner and you run into that same wall, you got problems. Okay? Because you know now that if I go that route and I make that turn, that wall is still there, but now I learn how to apply the brakes. Okay? God, through his grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, now has given you the ability to put the brakes on even before you get there. Amen? So now you have the ability, and that's what Paul is writing to the church. And like he said, don't let nobody cheat you of who you are and what you are in Christ. And what I want you to just think about as a subject today is that access your completeness in Christ. And that's up to you to access. God has already made a way through Jesus. All right? The veil was ripped. Just say this was the old temple of back in the day. God always wanted to dwell with his people. All right? Let's get that understanding. God always wanted to dwell with his people. It used to be in tents. Then they built the temple. But now we are the temple of the living God. And God wants to dwell within us. And he does. We were just singing that song. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't ever think that God is not with you. It might not feel like it, because like I said, we freak out soon as something happens. Oh God, where are you at? Oh God, if you love me, I'd be there. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Huh? He's not going to leave you or forsake you. The promise, he never changes, correct? So you have to understand that the veil was ripped, all right? And now you have access to God for yourself. You do not need me. You do not need Josh. You don't need Chris, Daniel. All right, the pastoral team that we have, all you need is an understanding that that veil was ripped for me. what Jesus did for the world, he also did for me. And through that, now I have access to God. But not only access to God, you are accessing your completeness in God. Because without him, you are incomplete. And God made it that way. God made it that way because you know how we be, how cute we think we are, how fly we think we are. I got more swag than everybody. Come on. All right? And God understands that. Listen, God knew exactly what he was getting the day you said yes to Jesus. So don't think that God don't know. And he's cool with it. He's cool with it. He knows everything. He knows your ups, your downs, your ins and outs. All right? You can fake me out. You can fake everybody else out. But you can't fake him out. So get over yourself because he is watching. All right? Because the thing of it is understand, God wants you to be complete because he is a complete God. He's not fragmented. There's not nothing missing in him. And when you were created, in Genesis 1:26, when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, that we are supposed to reflect God in the earth. We're supposed to reflect the likeness of God in the earth. When you look in the mirror, that's just us a reflection of yourself. So when God created us, he created us in perfection. Does everybody understand that? It was when sin entered the world that the imperfection started showing up in our character and everything else. Is everybody understanding? Is everybody cool with that? Are you cool with it? Well, even if you ain't, I'm still going to come. All right. So, but anyway, you have to understand that God wants you to be complete. Paul wanted the church, and it's a young church that had just started and everything and all the stuff that is going on. You know, one of the things that I think about with people and with people in Christ is you act like Jesus and them never had crazy stuff going on. Yes, they did. We just got more because there's more people. So it's more crazy. But the same thing that was going on in Christ's day, the same thing that was going on in Paul's day, is the same thing that's going on in our day. And if we're not careful, like Paul said, if we're not careful in verse 7, if we are not rooted, first of all, verse 6, let me back up. He says, and you therefore, having received Jesus, the Lord, okay? And that word Lord means Jesus, the divine person who you submit yourself to in obedience. See, everybody wants a savior, but everybody don't want a Lord. Because now that changes stuff. Now I got to submit. And nobody likes the word submit because you done submitted to somebody and you got the short end of the stick. All right? Come on now, stay with me. I'm going to keep it real preacher. So if you're here for the first time, we're going to do it. All right? So Lord means that this is the person that I'm submitting myself to. All right. So as Paul is saying in this verse here, he says, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in him. And that word walk means to live. You are to live in Christ because outside of Christ, you're still going to live the same life you used to do, but you just got a Christian Band-Aid on your back. Without him. Without him. Jesus himself said in John 15:7, without me, you can do nothing. Without the Spirit of Christ in your heart each and every day, you can't do this life, this Christian life. Jesus Christ is a tough act to follow. He was sinless in a sinful world, but he never dropped the ball. Abraham dropped the ball. David dropped the ball. Isaac dropped the ball. Everybody you see before Jesus dropped the ball. And what they were called to do, or in the midst of what they were called to do, but Jesus never dropped the ball. He is our example, amen? So he said, we received him. Now you need to walk in him. Be as Christ walked, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have seen and been taught, abiding in it with thanksgiving. All right? So you have to be rooted in God. You have to be rooted in the things of God. You have to be rooted in the word of God, in the principles of God, in the people of God. And as I said earlier, when you got a little tree, you see a little tree that's in your way. Say you just bought a house and you want to clear the land. Them little trees you could just pull out. because the roots ain't deep. You try that with them ones that are this big with all the leaves and branches and everything. How's that working for you, all right? But he's saying that even though people are going to come to you and try to deceive you with all this empty philosophy and everything else that is going on in this world, as long as you are rooted and grounded in the faith in him, you are not going to move. Because I'm working towards my completeness in Christ. Jesus was a perfect picture of the Father. Jesus was a perfect picture of who I can be in my person. Because you're never going to be Jesus, all right? But he's saying to them that you have access to the completeness in Christ, to the fullness, the potential. And and God gave me this analogy this morning as I was studying that. It says, in him, it's just like you getting into your car, right? I'm going to ask the same question that I asked out at the first service. How many of you have read that manual that's in your glove compartment from one end to the other? Same response I got. Nobody. All right? Why? Because, see, the manufacturer gave it to you so that you would understand the full potential of what you're driving. Does everybody understand that? The full potential of what you're driving. The manufacturer of me and you gave us a manual so that we would understand the full potential of who we are in him. But if you do not open up the manual for yourself or do it because somebody told you that you should do. See, this has to become a personal thing for you. That I want to, now that I understand that I got access to the completeness in Christ, that's the life I want to live. I've lived a fragmented life. I lived a life that was full of confusion and hurt and pain and everything else. I want to live a complete life that no matter what comes in my life, that I'm still going to keep moving forward. Most people back up soon as something happens in your life. Back away from God. Why is this happening, God? Why is that happening, God? God never promised that you're going to have a rose garden, but he's going to give you the strength to go through. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, he didn't say if. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overtake you. And when you pass through the fire, that the flames will not continue, the flames will not kindle against you. Okay? But you got to be rooted and grounded. And how can I say that with such confidence? Because if you read the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew boys that was challenged with their faith, they told the king, I don't care what you do. We ain't even going to answer you, buddy. Do what you want to do. Hit me with your best shot. But see, when we are rooted and grounded in faith, and you understand that I am complete in Christ, it doesn't matter what happens to you, because just like them, when you stand in faith, Jesus is going to show up just like he did in that fire. He's going to show up in your life. He's going to show up in that situation. He's going to show up in that circumstance. But first of all, you have to understand who he is and what he has done for me. So now that I have access to him, I can walk in the completeness that he died to give me. Amen? Jesus didn't die for you to be incomplete and fragmented. Oh, God. Still all that, oh God, you know them oh God moments. Come on. You know you all had them. Jesus did not die for that. Jesus died to bring you into the wholeness of God, into the fullness of God, of who he is and who he created you to be. There's too many people that are living beneath the privilege of what Christ died to give you. Amen. God already knows. You act like you're faking somebody else. God already knows everything about you. He loves you. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? Listen. Psalms 139. Because you have to understand one thing. You serve a God who is omniscient. This is one of the attributes of God. Attribute just means the character of God. The character of God, he's omniscient, which means he has perfect knowledge that all that transpires, human history and human life. Okay? And if you don't believe me, listen to this Psalms 139. David, O Lord, you have searched me, you have known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. If somebody got that much information about you, now that's a lot of information. For him to know all of that about you before it even happens and everything. Your mama don't even have that much information about you. And she born you. But somebody, this is the guy that you're serving. This is the man that we're worshiping. Almighty God, each and every day. And he knows. All right? But he's cool with us because Jesus has made a way through the cross. He has blocked the judgment of God through his blood and everything else. Okay? So he's cool with you. Thing of it is, we got to get cool with him. Thing of it is, a lot of people, you have not forgiven yourself from your past. And everybody that knows my testimony, oh yeah, before I forget, thank God. Where's my boys from TLC? Stand on up, fellas. TLC's in the house! Yeah. These are my brothers from the Transformation Life Center, Drug and Rehab Center, and you don't see me here on, what is that we do? Wednesday, the first Wednesday, that's where I am with them guys, all right? So it's good to see them in the house. God bless you. But you have to understand that God knows everything about you, everything, and he's trying to get you to a place where you forget about your past, because your past is covered under the blood of Jesus. All right? And a lot of people walk in unforgiveness, still worrying about your past. Your past is over. You need to let it go. Because Jesus has taken care of it. It's over with. Let it go. But God wants to bring us to a place of completeness, like I said, that you understand who you are. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say I am? All right? Jesus posed the question to his disciples. Who do people say I am? And they brought all types of different things. You're Elijah, you're this one, you're a prophet, yada, yada, yada. And then he got to the point where he said, but who do you say that I am? And that's a question that all of us have to ask ourselves in relationship to Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus, really, in your life? Who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who stood up. Put your open mouth, insert foot, Peter. Okay? It was Peter who was the one who opened his mouth and said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. Right? So getting back to what I was saying, accessing God, you have to understand that it says here, for in him, verse 9, for in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, the more you be around God, the more around the things of God, you're going to start getting revelation from God. And Jesus knew at that point. See, because you can't have one without the other. The Godhead is one. And I know that freaks a lot of people out because I always get that question. Well, how can God be the Father? How can God be the Son? How can God? I said, well, let me give it to you like this. I'm a son. I'm a husband, and I'm a grandfather. I'm one man, but I just operate in three different offices at that time. All right? So does that clear that up for everybody who was wondering about that? Praise the Lord. Let's move on. All right. But you have to understand that the fullness of the Godhead, it says, that dwelled in Jesus bodily, and you are complete in him. The completeness that they seen in Jesus' life is the same completeness that could be in your life if you believe it. That you have the Father who has unconditional love for you. You have a Savior who paid the price for you. And now you have the dwelling of his Spirit that is able to lead and to guide you into all truth. Into this place of completeness each and every day of your life. Amen? Believers have been filled with all the spiritual blessings that they need. Do you believe that? I know that was a quick yes, but do you believe that? Okay, wait till something happens when you leave here. No. But the same is true in Ephesians 1 and 3, because Paul said, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You are blessed. You just have to learn to walk in the blessing. A lot of times we're asking God for something that he has already given us because we don't understand. Through God's eyes, you have been made perfect. Through God's eyes, you have been made righteous. Why? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, Genesis 1:27, it says that God made male and female, and he blessed them. So you're already blessed. In your access of becoming complete in Christ, you have to understand, as I move more towards God, I'm moving more towards the blessing that God has already blessed me with. All right? Does everybody understand that? As you move in your access to God, you have access to him through his word, through his spirit, through his church, through fellowship of the saints, believing with one another, through the mature saints in here that have helped these young people to understand who you are in Christ. And it's okay that you're not there at that point, but you can get there. Don't be one of them people talk about, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not there yet. You're not there because you don't want to go there. See, because accessing to God is going to expose you. Accessing to the presence of God is going to expose some things in you that you thought were gone. Expose some stuff, sinful tendencies that are still there that you buried in your life for all types of other reasons. I've been there and done it. That's why I preach the way I do, and that's why I teach the way I do. Because I've been there and done it. And as I was growing and growing in the Lord, growing in ministry, there's things and hurdles I had to get up over in order to become complete. And I'm still being made complete. I haven't arrived. I'm just like Paul. I didn't arrive. I'm not talking about a man that arrived to a certain point and he's all down here. No. It's a progression that you have to continue to go. Even when God shows you stuff about yourself that you do not like, he's just showing it to you so you can get rid of it and move into the fullness of who you really are and what he created you to be. Amen? God don't expose you because he wants you to feel like a worm. He exposes you because that is not going to operate where I'm at. When he called Adam and said, Adam, where are you? He knew exactly where Adam was at. And because God is hatred towards sin, he had to call Adam back to him. Because he said, if I show up over there, there's going to be problems, so you better come back this way. You better come back over where I'm at. Because I know what I created you to do. I know the place where I put you. But you're not there, Adam. You're not there, Adam. You're not in the place where I put you. The place of perfection, the place of authority. See, God gave you power, man. Over the principalities and over the power. That's what this word is saying in the end. That you have power. You have power. Access the power that God has given you through Christ. You should not live a defeated life. You are no longer the victim. You are a victor. God wants his church to live victoriously. If you want this nation to change, you know what you got to do? Understand who you are. Understand who you are. The only thing that's going to change this nation is revival. And I'm not talking about the Azusa Street revival, and I'm not talking about the Toronto outpouring. I'm talking about the outpouring that's going to come right now. Right now. But the thing of it is, you got to believe. And you got to search God, and you got to go to God. If you got to cry all night and say, God, I ain't moving till you fill me with your fullness, God. Tired of living the defeated life, God. Tired of having my thoughts just making me think I'm crazy. Tired of living a life When you said that I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and understand who you are and that you are complete in Him. Forget about what everybody else has ever spoken over your life. Think about what God has spoken over your life. You are complete in Him. You have power. You have authority. People ain't gonna like it, but who cares? I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you say about me. And like I told them in the first service, God did not call me to be your friend. God called me to equip you for the work of ministry. That's what God called me for. Now in the interim, if we become friends, that's great. Because I'd rather you hate me than go to hell. I'd rather you say, I can't stand that guy. That's good. But why don't you stand that guy? Because I'm willing to stand here and tell you the truth about yourself. Because I had people in my life that was willing to stand and tell me the truth. I had people in my life to tell me, Donald, you're out of order and you need to get it right. And that's the only thing that helped change my life besides my relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're not willing to submit yourself all to God and have one of the elders who have spiritual vision that can tell you about yourself, there's no need to be here, because God uses people. You understand that? God uses people to speak into your life. Why? Because He loves you. He don't want you remaining broken, frail, and not able to live, and then say, why God? Why God? Why God? It's because you don't understand. I done made a way. I done made an access for you to live a complete life each and every day of your life. Not just this rising up one day and then down the next. Every day of your life, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, I'm going to stand in victory of what Christ won for me. He has won it. You just got to access it. Access it. I know people have walked out of your life. I know people have broken your heart. Listen, you're complete in Christ. You're not complete in a man. And that's what Paul was telling them. Because they want all this other stuff. You're not completing the man. You're not completing the woman. You're not completing the job. You're not completing the 401k, because they'll probably steal that from you next. All right? You are complete in Jesus Christ. All them other people just come to define your life. And if they don't like it, tell them to get to stepping. I'm going to stand in what Christ won for me. You might not understand me. You might not like me. And if you're going to be a part of what I'm a part of, you need to tell them. Then you need to get right with God. You need to be right. You're the church of the living God. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God who loves you with an everlasting love. In the book of Jeremiah, He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drew you to myself. You're here because of the love of God, not because this is a better church than anybody else's church. God is drawing you. He's drawing you closer to Himself. He's drawing you to the place of perfection. He's drawing you so you can see yourself for who you really are. But you got to take the mask off. Too many of us come to church with a mask on. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. And you toe up from the floor up. Take the mask off. Let people who see who you really are. I'm broken. I'm hurt. I need somebody to pray for me. We got to get rid of all this fake Christianity. Because people want truth. And the only way we're going to change this young generation is truth. Give them the truth. Even when it hurts, give them the truth. Because that's the only thing that's going to change their life. All that other stuff that we've been doing, all this fluff over that and all that, you got to make them understand that it ain't mama's religion, it ain't grandmother's religion, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to save you. And that's the only thing that's going to save this world. Rise to your feet, please. Rise to your feet.